Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
What do I have to do with you, They confess Jesus, Son of God Most High. So that's the impudence of the demon. What commonality? What is there in common between me and you? What do I have to do with you? But then they say, I beseech you, do not torment me. So in addition to their impudence, they also confess that Christ has power over them. The demons themselves acknowledge that Christ has power over them. Because Christ had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. And then Jesus asks him, what is your name? And the devil simply responds, Legion, because there are many devils in this man. And then they ask, they make a request. Again, we can't skip over that too often. They make a request of Christ. They ask him that he would not command them to go out into the deep, that he would not destroy them. They acknowledge the power he has over them, and they request that he does not exercise that power. And there were beside them a herd of many swine feeding on the mountainside, and they request that Christ allow them to go into the swine. And he allows it. And so the devils leave the man, they go into the swine, and the swine immediately respond by running down the mountainside into the lake and drowning themselves. So having seen all of that, the people that the swine herds that were hired hands, it wasn't their swine, they were just hired to work and keep an eye on them, they run off into the city to tell everyone what had happened. And when they come out of the city, they find Jesus, and they find the man. Now remember, this is the same man that they had tied up with chains to try to keep him from hurting someone, or probably hurting himself. And he was endowed with superhuman, or should I say subhuman strength, and broke the chains and ran off into the wilderness. This is the same man. These are the same people. This is the city he's from. And they come out, and they find Jesus, and they find this man who had been possessed with the devil, and he's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and he's wearing clothes, and he's in his right mind. And the response of the people is fear. This is not necessarily the wrong response, right? To come into contact with the obvious power of divinity. And I think the proper mortal response to coming into contact with the immortal is a certain fear, right? The Psalms say that we should worship God in fear and trembling. There's a certain fear of God that we are expected to have. But the people who see it, they are afraid. But when they find out how he was healed, and they see all of their wealth floating dead in the lake, then they request that Jesus would depart from them. So in other words, they had come into contact with God. Obviously. Everyone who comes into contact with Christ comes into contact with God. They saw something which was only within the power of God to do. But they were so attached to the things of this world. They were so concerned with the loss of their wealth that their choice was to send God away. And then the commenters on this passage say, where people live like pigs, Christ will not stay there. Because Christ's response is to leave, right? He doesn't sit there and argue with them. He doesn't sit there and try to convince them. He doesn't sit there and explain to them what they should do. They see the situation, they can read it, and their response is, please go away. Christ does. He departs. And so, the man out of whom he had cast the devils asks that he might go with Jesus, and Jesus sends him as an apostle back to his own town. Go back to your house. Go back to your home. Go back to your city. And show what great things God has done for you. So, even here, Christ doesn't abandon these people who send him away. He sends this man back to be a constant witness not by what he says, but by who he is. To live in their midst is a constant witness to the power of God. And the man goes back to his village, and he publishes, he speaks throughout, showing what great things Jesus had done for him. Now, this passage is obviously one of those. It's obviously one of those passages that is kind of maybe sometimes problematic nowadays, because it speaks so obviously of demonic possession. And this is a reality which we must always be aware of. Christ dealt with some people by healing them. He dealt with others by casting out demons. And we can't pretend that Christ didn't know the difference between mental illness and demonic possession. It is a reality. And I think nowadays we tend to sterilize our spiritual outlook on things to where we might not want to believe that evil spirits exist and are active. And so it's very good for us to see this. And it's very good for us to see time and again that the evil spirits make requests of Christ. In the Gospel commentary, there are four reasons given why Christ allows the demons to go into the herd of swine. I'm going to read them to you. I kind of paraphrase them a little bit. Number one, to show the man how many demons and what they were that were in him. So this is part of his healing, to see how many demons were inside of him and what kind they were, what they desired to do to him. Number two, so that everyone, and that's the people that are in the village, that's you and me, everyone, might understand that the demons cannot even enter into swine, into pigs, without the master's permission. They cannot do anything without Christ's permission. Number three, the demons would do even crueler things, harsher things, more destructive, eternally destructive things to men, if they were not restrained by God. And number four, because the death of the swine would prove that the demons had indeed departed. They were, in fact, gone. Out of those four points there, number two and number three highlight the fact that the demons must have Christ's permission and that they are also restrained by God. So the question that comes to us, I think, the realization we ought to have, rather, is that the demons remain active. In time, chronologically speaking, 2,000 years ago, Christ descended into hell and rose from the dead and utterly broke and destroyed the power of Satan. Nevertheless, the demons remain active. And all of us experience this. We don't have to be living in tombs naked and breaking chains to experience the assault of the demons. We experience it all the time, if we're paying a little bit of attention. Why is it that our minds are wandering in church? Isn't somebody suggesting that we think about something else, or that we focus on something else? Why are we tempted to do things that we know for a fact are wrong? Why do we do things that we know for a fact are wrong? Do we not suffer these assaults, these attacks, from the demonic powers? This is a constant, ongoing battle. And so, for you and for me, to realize this, we also need to realize that it happens by the permission of God. That's a little bit hard to understand, right? Why does God let the demons attack us? Why doesn't He take them away? Why doesn't He free us from this burden? Why doesn't He just, abolish them all completely and let us go on living peaceful, productive lives? Well, the reason, again, according to the commentators on the Gospel, the reason is so that we will win crowns. Where there is no contest with an adversary, there is no victory. And this is something which I think nowadays sounds kind of odd, right? A lot of you have little children. And you know, if you put your children in a soccer league and they play a soccer game and they play a tournament, at the end of the tournament, everybody gets a trophy, right? Everybody wins. Everybody's special. But it's simply not true. And it kind of makes a mockery of the tournament, doesn't it? My son, Luke, last weekend, was in a fencing tournament. He started fencing. He's been doing it 2.5 months, right? So obviously there are people that have been doing it for years and they're better than he is. And he lost. And you know what? He came in 7th place out of 12 or 14. Not too bad. But he didn't get a medal. 3 people got medals. The best one, the second best, and the third best. And I think we've lost that idea of struggle. We've lost that idea of competition as a culture. But in the case, like, with the soccer club, because he was in soccer for a while too, and he got a trophy all the time whether they won or not. It doesn't happen that way in the kingdom of God. God doesn't give us a trophy just for participating. We don't get a crown just for making a feeble attempt. We are crowned for victory. And this is what Christ calls us to. Moreover, he doesn't simply call us. He aids us. He assists us. The prayers of the saints assist us. What is it St. Paul says in the Epistle to the Hebrews, that great passage? We are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. Therefore, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. This is the life of a Christian. We enter into an arena. We enter into combat. We enter into a competition. A competition not with each other, not with other human beings. We enter into a competition with the powers of darkness, which from the beginning of time strive to destroy us. Nevertheless, if we try, if we make the effort, if we exercise ourselves a little bit, if we come to the divine services, if we confess our sins, if we prepare ourselves and receive Holy Communion, if we fast, if we tithe, if we pray, if we give alms, if we engage, in other words, if we engage our own passions with a goal to overthrowing them, with a goal to being freed from them, then Christ too will give us the crown. This is his desire for us. His desire is that we be victorious. In fact, you could say he has already given us the victory. It's simply for us to fulfill that call. So brothers and sisters, as St. Paul says, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside the sin which so easily besets us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, trusting, knowing that with Christ we will be victorious over the powers of darkness. To him be all glory, honor, and worship in the age of ages.
Amen.